Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Just go ahead and turn there. I have so many things that I'm grateful for today, and I'm not going to take up the time, take away from the Word to even recount them, but I just thank the Lord for His faithfulness, for His hand upon my life and our family, and He's a good Father, amen?
Amen.
He's a good Father. I hope that everyone listening to the sound of my voice today, that you know Him as Father and friend and also as Lord and King. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I was going a different direction today and I just sensed the Lord leading me into this to encourage you today if you're dealing with troubles. Troubles. If there are any troubles in your life today, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and say yes, but I would suspect that most of you are dealing with some kind of troubles. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to pray first. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Lord, I just glorify Your name. You are worthy to be praised and honored and glorified. I thank You, Lord, that You saved us and redeemed us. Thank You, Lord, for Your power in our lives, Lord God, the strength and the power to live as an overcomer, Lord God. Lord, that we are not victims, but we are victors. Lord, that we are not we're not under our circumstances, but we are overcomers, Lord God. I thank You, Lord, that You give us faith, Lord, to be able to see that which is invisible, to be able, Lord, to apprehend the mind of Christ and to know what is Your will for us. Lord, this morning I pray that You would come to my aid, Lord God, because I can do nothing apart from You. I need You to come and, Lord, just take Your word and the things that You have laid upon my heart. Lord, help me to be able to articulate them. And, Lord, let it be breathed upon by Your Holy Spirit that this word would find lodging in our hearts today, Lord God, that we would be able to just walk with You in a way that brings honor and glory to Your name. It's in the mighty, precious, holy, and wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were from there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Have you ever had troubles so great that you wept until you had no more power to weep, no more tears to cry? And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We'll come back to the next scripture in a few moments. But I want to talk to you this morning about troubles and what to do when troubles come in. What to do when you're facing obstacles and it seems like things are stacked against you in this life. David came to Ziklag, and I'm not going to go into all the history of that situation, but he had put his wives and his families there in that place to keep them safe. Times when you do what you think is the best you can do, it seems like it comes back and it attacks you. It comes back and proves to be the very wrong decision. We'll see that again in just a moment. David comes to Ziklag. They've been out on a military campaign. Remember, David is going to be the next king of Israel, but he goes through many sorrows and many trials in his journey to the throne. And he comes back, and there he finds that his families have been carried away captive, and the city has been burned with fire. David's life, I know that you think of David in many ways. You think of him as king of Israel, and he was. He is the foreshadowing of Christ in the Old Testament. Most of you would say you know him because the Bible says that he's a man after God's own heart. In spite of his failures, in spite of his sin, he gives us great reason to be encouraged and great hope. But I want to present to you this morning in this first part of this message, David as a man who lived a life of trouble, a life filled with troubles. His brothers favored each other, or let me just say this a different way. His brothers were favored by their father. They were seen as men who would be great in the land and those who would carry on the family name. David knew what it was like to feel the weight of rejection. Have you ever felt the weight of rejection upon your life? Have you ever felt like those who love you the most rejected you the most? Have you ever felt like those that perhaps you had sown into their lives, you felt rejected, alienated, even betrayed by them? David, listen to me, David knew what it was like to be compared with others all the time. David knew what it was like for his brothers to be, or him to be compared with his brothers, and he always came up with the short end of the stick. He was overlooked, he was set aside. He was sent to do the menial chores with the keeping of the sheep in the field. When the prophet came to look for the next king of Israel to anoint, he called for the sons of Jesse to be brought forward. And all of his sons except David were brought. Jesse left David in the field, called all of his other sons forward for the prophet to anoint one as king of Israel. And we know, of course, he asked if there was another, and they sent for David. In this passage of Scripture, you see that this type of problem in his life continues. For here, we find that he is rejected by his own men. I mean, we read that the city was burned and his wives were taken, and they will be recovered because God is faithful in our lives. But the wives were taken, and the men, his men that he's training and has trained for war, they are overcome because all of their families are taken, and they lift up their voices and they weep, and they weep, and they weep until they have no more power to weep, the Bible says. And then David, who has been so loved by all of these warriors, it says that they talked about him and they conspired and they were ready to stone him because they did not, they felt that he was responsible for the things that had taken place. He was rejected by the ones that he had poured his life into. Do you remember he spent years with them, training them, raising them up? Let me just do this quickly. They were one of the biggest bands of losers you've ever met. They were the outcasts of Israel, and David poured his life into them and raised up the greatest army that Israel has ever known. But during this time, they lost all faith in their leader, and they wanted to cast him aside. He was betrayed by those who were supposed to love him more than once. His journey to the throne involved hiding in the caves with these men, hiding from King Saul's threats, because Saul had set upon killing him. If you read the Psalms that David wrote, you'll find a man that in times of blessing, he knew how to dance, praise, and love the Lord. He was a man who knew how to be joyful and to be excited about the things of God. But you also find a man who was prone to times of despair, times of loneliness, times of grief and feeling overcome by his enemies. He felt overcome by fears and anxieties, and he wrote songs and poetry about all of these feelings. He was not shy to talk about how his enemies had set themselves against him. His wars with the Philistines went on and on, and then his war with his own flesh nature That thing that we struggle and we fight with so often. In other words, David's life was a life of constant struggle. In between, we find mountain peaks of joy. But it was one struggle after another, one betrayal after another, one being rejected after another, one life being threatened after another, one trouble after another. Have you ever had troubles that just seem to come one on top of another? Maybe this morning you can identify with David. David felt the weight. It's a heavy weight, isn't it? David felt the weight of all these things. But the word that we read this morning says that even though he was distressed, have you ever been in distress? Even though he was in a time of distress, he strengthened himself in the Lord. Say that with me. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Don't you ever, ever, ever think that this word is not relevant to your life. You cannot find a problem of the heart. Hear me this morning. You cannot find a problem of the heart that you can't find someone in the Word of God who's dealt with the same thing and how God led them and taught them to deal with these things. Distressed, but strengthened himself in God. And how do we do that? How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? Those of you who are listening to the sound of my voice today, those of you who have joined us on the live stream, I pray that the Lord is ministering to your heart right now, because I know that there are many who will listen to this message who are in a time of trouble. I know that it is a time for many of you that you feel overcome and overwhelmed by troubles. One trouble after another, troubles of all different kinds. And how do you face troubles as a believer? How do you deal with trouble? How do you overcome? How do you have that life that is radiant in the Lord in spite of all of these things that the enemy of our soul sins against us? I just want to take you through a few things in the Word this morning and let other people's lives speak for how we can find overcoming power in the face of troubles. How we can be victorious instead of being a victim in a time of trouble. You know, sometimes I'm just going to describe things that I've known and I know other people have known in your lives. Sometimes trouble is like this, it's like a heavy weight on your shoulders. You can't seem to shake it. It's just there all the time, weighing you down, and you can't seem to find any life, any joy. Sometimes troubles are like thorns stinging you, one right after another. And what I mean by that, it's like the Bible describes it like demonic arrows, Satan shooting arrows at us. And he says that we are to be able to quench those flames with faith. But it's like one thing piercing your heart right after another. Have you ever awakened in the night from a nightmare? A real nightmare that you just, your whole body is gripped. You just, when you stop and even think about what you were just dreaming, you're just gripped, you're paralyzed with this awful sense of fear or dread. Sometimes our troubles do that to us. They paralyze us. The enemy sends fear over the things that might come upon us that are even worse. Sometimes our troubles are like a long war. You know, a long war is a series of many, many battles and skirmishes. How many of you, I don't want you to raise your hand, but think for a moment, how many of you this morning have lived a long season of your life? And it's, you look back over it and it's been one skirmish, one battle after another, and it just seems to never let up. Sometimes your struggles and your troubles are like waves pounding, and it's like one wave washes over you, one wave of trouble, and it seems to calm for a moment, but before that one can calm, another wave comes crashing in. David understood that. He said, Lord, he said, all of your waves and billows have washed over me, talking about the troubles. that had come upon his life. Sometimes he described it as the valley of the shadow of death, fearing for your very life troubles. You say, God, have you forgotten about me? Have you forgotten about me? My troubles are so great. I've put my trust in you and it seems that it's been for naught. Where are you in the midst of this? And how many of you can testify to the trouble of your own making? How many of you can say, my troubles, many of them I created. I did something that set this in motion. And now I'm dealing with the waves coming back upon me. But I'm the one that started the storm, sent the waves by my own actions. You know, God is so gracious in the midst of those. You know, you cannot find anywhere in the Word of God that if someone was in the midst of a storm of their own creation and they cried out and just said, help, Lord. The Lord never once said, you did this. Not one time. The Lord is gracious to help us in times of trouble. It does not matter where it came from. He's a God who comes to our aid. Sometimes trouble come from people that love you the most. And I'm going to tell you today, those are the most painful waves of trouble out of them all. The ones that come from those who are supposed to love you and those that you love the most, and yet they have sent trouble your way. And sometimes it's like Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that, most of you. I used to like Coyote and Roadrunner. And you know, it just seems like you start out the day and an anvil falls out of an empty sky. It flattens you. And then a few minutes later, you're on your way again. You know, it's funny. I wish we could be like cartoons. You know, they can go as flat as a shadow and then they just pop back up again. It's amazing. And then they're going along their way and a prairie fire comes and surrounds you and just burns you to a crisp. And there you stand. And then one of them was always deceiving the other one. And I remember when Wile E. Coyote would, this is my favorite scene, he would paint a black door like an opening to a tunnel on the side of a mountain, the rock face of a mountain, in order to get Roadrunner to come and to think he can run into the tunnel, you know, and of course he's going to crash right into the rock. I read where recently, have you ever seen these artists that paint on the side of buildings or something, a mural that is such an illusion that it looks like it's real? Well, this man painted this big garage door with tracks, with a road going into it and everything. And in the night, a man came and tried to drive into it, crashed his car because it looked so real. And you know, Roadrunner was always too smart to fall for these things. And inevitably, the coyote, he would come back and fall for his own deception. It's pretty bad, isn't it, when you fall for your own deception? How many of you, I wonder, because many of you have walked with the Lord and you're serving the Lord, and I know I warn a lot of times because I hear people just pray, and Lord, if you just, and I pray sometimes, Lord, open a door if it's you. But let me tell you again and again and again, you must have discernment and you must be careful with that prayer. Because you can keep looking for a door and you will find a door. Yes. And you'll find a door that looks like it was put there just for you. But it was put there by Wile E. Coyote, your enemy. You will find a door and you will think that you're supposed to go through it. Lord, I prayed and you opened this door and so it must be you. And you go through that door only to find that you beat your head senseless and you thought it was God opening the door and it all came crashing down upon you. And then you thought, why did God lead me into such a hard place? And all the while it was a door painted. It was an illusion. Something that the enemy put before you. Sometimes your troubles come because you ran into something that you were quick to think would be a good fix for your need. And the enemy knows how to put illusions, yes, doors before you.
That's right.
That are not of the Lord. And you must learn how to pray for the Lord to give you discernment and test these things. to know whether they are of God or not. Sometimes you think that God has just made the way plain. You better test and prove the things of the Lord to be sure that they are of the Lord, because the coyote would come back, and sometimes, lo and behold, the illusion worked. And he actually ran into the tunnel, only to find a train coming back out from the other direction that would flatten him again. And that's what happens many times as troubles come our way. It's one of the top themes in popular songs. If you Google trouble in songs, you'll find, oh, I'm just going to guess, I bet a third of all songs are about troubles of one kind or another. But our problem as believers is twofold. And I'm speaking to believers who know the Lord. Something that we should learn as foundation and as bedrock in the beginning of our walk, but we don't. And we have to learn through many trials some of these things. Twofold, our problem is an issue of focus and trust, and I'll explain that. Focus and trust. Turn with me to a very well-known passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I wonder how many of you feel like the wind has been contrary for a long time. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Fourth watch is the last watch, just before day. It pictures for us the very end of a time of darkness when it seems that everything's hopeless. If God, listen to me, you may be in that place, the fourth watch of the night, where you say, if God hasn't come through by now, he must not be going to come through. Where is God when I need him the most? Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. I just love this man. Command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Truly you are the Son of God. I want you to see this morning, you've probably heard many, many sermons on this passage of Scripture. Usually sermons about faith, and faith will be woven into this. But I want us to see it today for a moment from the standpoint of your troubles. And I want you to listen with all of your heart, because I don't really believe there's anyone in here that doesn't face troubles on a regular basis. And I would be just remiss if I did not say that if you're walking strongly with the Lord, it's not like we thought, or like you may have thought at some time, well, if I come to the Lord, if I serve the Lord, I won't have any more troubles. No, you come and you serve the Lord, and the enemy of your soul makes sure that you have troubles. And so we see this contrary wind blowing in the fourth watch of the night. And you know, if I'm preaching this for one person that says, whether they say it to me or not, does not matter, but in their heart they can say, yeah, it feels like the fourth watch of the night. And it is such a contrary wind. I don't know if I can stand against it. I think of these reporters on TV that do the weather whenever there's a hurricane. It's like it's this test of a great reporter. They're supposed to stand out there in the middle of the street with water splashing around their ankles because it's already flooding, and they are to lean into the wind because it's blowing so hard they can hardly stand up and do the news report. It's kind of like, why do you have to do that to tell us what's happening? Because they put themselves in dangerous, you know, in dangerous places. Contrary wind blowing hard. Troubles beat the hardest in the last hour of the night. Troubles come with greater and greater intensity the darker it is in your life. But I want to show you something because it says that Jesus came to them. They were filled with fear because of the waves and the wind, but Jesus came walking to them on the water. Peter thinks that it's Jesus and says, if it's you, the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to you most clearly in times of great trouble. Now, you may not be at that place right now, but that's where he wants to take you immediately. Immediately, not down the road, not through a process, this morning. That's what this message is about, is that suddenly, in the time of your greatest difficulty, there can be a supernatural revelation, a revealing of the Lord to your heart. You know, I can't think of a time that I got some great awareness of the Lord when everything was going easy. The great awareness of God seems to always come in times of difficulty, adversity, hardship, trouble for the believer, because the believer knows that in that time, he's very aware, he becomes aware. If you're really a believer, you become aware, I don't have the strength to withstand this, not successfully, not in my own strength. I need what only the Lord can do. Peter recognized this. Peter said, if it's you, Jesus is coming into focus. He's coming into their field of vision. And he's beginning to make himself known in the middle of the storm, in the middle of all of their troubles. I think of the audacity of Peter. I mean, whoever asked such a thing? If it's you, he didn't say, if it's you, Lord, why don't you calm the storm for us? That's what we usually pray. Lord, take these troubles away. Take these troubles away. Listen to me. How many of you, that's your prayer right now? Oh, God, take this trouble away from me. Take this thing away from me. I don't know how I'm going to face it. I can't stand it another day. But somehow Peter had the faith rise up in him to get it right. And he said, Lord, if it's you, send me to come on the water to you. Show me how, Lord God, give me the power to walk over my troubles, over the adversity, over the things that are pounding my life right now, over the things that are causing me fear, over the thing that's causing me great distress. Make it a sidewalk that I can walk over it and come to you. He said, let me see and let me do what you were doing. This is really amazing. I want you to hear this because we must always, yes, remember our relationship to God. We are not Christ. We never will be Christ. We are not uncreated God. But he wants to put so much of himself in you. Don't let anything distract you from this moment. He wants to put so much of himself in you that he can tell you, come to me and do what I'm doing. This is amazing. Peter says, I want to do what you're doing. Jesus didn't look at him and say, you fool, I'm God. Jesus said, come to me on the waves, on the water. Every wave, listen to me for your life this morning. Every wave is an opportunity to turn something or to learn something from Christ and to learn how to do it the way He does it. To learn how to stand over it the way He stands over it. And I know. People listen to messages like this and it's faith building, but then you say, oh, I get out there in the real world and, you know, this is not the way it is. People just, we're not Peter. No, we're not, but beloved, I want you to hear my heart this morning. Because I've lived long enough now, I've seen too many Christians knocked down over and over and over again, so much so that the world looks at them and says, if that's what it means to be a Christian, why is it that I should be one? If your life is no different than mine, if you can't stand in the face of a storm, why should I be a Christian? If you don't have the power that you claim your Christ gives, why should I be a Christian? If you can't keep your testimony when troubles are rolling over you like ocean waves. You see, I just don't think Christians can live that way. Beloved, that has been why the church has grown and survived for 2,000 years, because some caught a vision of Christ in the storm. Some knew that His supernatural power is available. Some said, Lord, let me do what You're doing in the midst of this. Some said, Lord, I'm tired of being a victim. Let me be victorious. Some said, Lord, I'm sick of losing my testimony before the world. Show me how to be victorious. Amen. Show me how to be an overcomer. Every wave is an opportunity for you to say, Jesus, I want to do what You're doing. Isn't that what He promised? He said, you will do even greater things.
That's right.
And so Peter began this really well. But he's also a prototype of you and I. It's a picture of you and I. Beloved, and short bursts of faith may bring instant marvelous results. Some of you have known that. Short bursts of faith may bring instant, marvelous results for the new Christian. Oh, I prayed and He gave me that parking place right up front. But when troubles are relentless, when they move in and set up camp in your house, it is sustained faith that's needed.
Amen.
Sustained faith.
Yes.
A lifestyle of faith. And it's maintained by keeping your focus and having unrelenting trust in Jesus Christ. I said I've lived long enough and seen too many Christians that lose their testimony and lose that faith, because I've lived long enough and I've seen too many Christians who do not have a bedrock foundation where they trust the Lord in all things. How many times have you found yourself with troubles coming and you doubted the goodness of God? Shouldn't even be part of the Christian's life. This should be what we learn as a little child. You know, you say, well, I can't hear Him. He's not speaking to me. Well, if you have a little child, you're a parent and you have a child that's born deaf, and they can't hear what you're saying, don't they also learn to trust you to be a good parent, even if they can't hear your voice? That I trust Him as my Father, even though there are times that I don't hear Him saying anything. It doesn't change who He is.
Amen.
It doesn't change the bedrock truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
He loved me enough to save me from my sins. He loved me enough to give me eternal life. He loved me enough to promise me heaven. He loved me enough to send His Holy Spirit to live within me. And He loves me enough to be good to me every single day, whether I get directions or not, whether I hear Him clearly or not. It doesn't change the relationship. Jesus responds to Peter's faith, and Peter walks to Him. We'll come back to focus and trust. Peter walks to Him. He walks toward Him. His focus is on Christ and not on the waves. Amen? But I want you to understand, this is what you must understand. His focus is on the Lord, Jesus Christ. But His focus is not on some weak version of Jesus. We're surrounded by cults here where we live. And some cults teach that Jesus is Satan's brother. And some cults teach that he's Michael the archangel. Some cults teach that he's a good prophet, but he's not the Son of God. Let me tell you something. Any kind of counterfeit version is not going to be able to help you in your troubles. But only the true Christ, who is deity, who is God in human flesh, who has all power over the storms, that's who has the power to help you to be a victor and not a victim.
Hallelujah.
And so Peter's focus is on Christ. Let me tell you this morning, you need a greater, greater image of Christ in your heart and in your mind. You need to read the Word of God and see who He really is, that you might glorify Him and magnify Him in your heart and mind, and that you might know that He is faithful, faithful, faithful. He's always faithful. This story is not recorded for us so that you can be amazed at Peter's faith. This story is recorded so that you can find yourself in it and see Jesus the way that Peter saw Him. It's recorded to show you when Peter's focus was on Jesus, he was sustained above the storm waves, above all dangers and all obstacles, above all troublesome waves. Listen to me, but one moment with his focus on the waves, the troubles, and he sank like a stone. Okay, I just gave it to you. That's the heartbeat truth of this message. As long as Peter has his eyes on the Lord, the troubles did not overcome him, and he walked above them. But at one moment with his eyes on the waves, and he sank like a stone. You need to hear that today. In your troubles as they come, as long as your eyes stay on Christ, these are kept in their place. But turn and put your eyes on your troubles, and you will be overcome by them. And you lose that vision of Christ. Now the Lord's merciful. He's so good that Peter sank like a stone because he looked in the wrong place and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And this time he didn't walk on the water, but Jesus came over and lifted him up. That's how good the Lord is. David said, we're not going to turn there, but David said in Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, he said, "I was so deep in trouble," and I'm paraphrasing it, "I was so deep in trouble, it was like I was stuck in miry clay." If you ever lived in Georgia like we did, you'd know what miry clay is. Miry Georgia red clay, you sink down in it, get your feet into it, and you can't pull them out on your own. It sticks and it clings. It will just cover your boots or whatever you're wearing, and you get to the point you can't move. And you have to have someone else to pull you out. David said it was like miry clay, thick, muddy clay, locked around his ankles. It paralyzes you. Some of you right now may be facing a trouble that paralyzes you. But this is what David said. He said, "I waited patiently." Oh, no. Patience. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He heard my cry. And He also brought me up out of the miry clay." Right now, if you cry out to Him, He hears your cry. But if you wait patiently, He will bring you up out of the miry clay. How did David say it? Listen, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers him out of them all." Amen?
Amen.
David said, "He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my steps." Now I want you to notice that walking on water does not mean that there will be no stormy waves. You think, if I can just walk in faith like those men and those women in Bible times, it doesn't mean you won't have storm waves pounding against you. In fact, you'll have more. It means that troubles cannot defeat you. Troubles cannot defeat you. First, and I go back to what I said, there must be a foundation of trust. Do you really trust Him? Let that question sink down into your heart this morning. Do you really trust Him? Be honest. Be honest with yourself. This is your greatest moment of clarity and truth this morning if you will be honest with yourself. Do you trust Him? I'm not asking, do you believe there's God out there somewhere? I'm asking you who say that you've come to faith in Christ and that you're a believer. Do you really trust Him? He's going to allow tests to come in your life that you might be proven, that your faith would be tested and proven. The Bible says that it is trust. I trust in the Lord, even in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Foundation. Foundation. Foundation to even go into the secret place. Him will I trust. My trust just keeps growing. I don't talk about myself a lot. But I'm old enough that I can tell you. I'm supposed to tell you. It's my job to tell you. I've walked for Him for many years. And I can tell you, just like the old hymn, sweeter as the years go by, sweeter as the years go by. Jesus' love is richer, fuller and deeper, sweeter as the years go by. And His trust is proven over and over and over again. I can trust Him. I can trust Him. He never fails me. And you want to know where I learned that? I learned that from David. I learned that from David. David would encourage himself by reminding himself of all the things God had done in the past. And I find myself doing that whenever new troubles come. I find myself saying, God, You never failed me back then. God, You did this for me 10 years ago. God, You did this for me 5 years ago. Oh, God, I remember when You delivered me from this. Oh, God, I remember when You pulled me up out of the miry clay. Oh, God, I remember when You healed me. Oh, God, I remember when You saved me. Oh, God, I remember when You provided when I did not have the finances that I needed. Oh, God, I remember. And it builds your faith, your trust, so that you know that He will take care of today. You trust Him for your salvation. Trust in Him for new life. He says you're a new creation. You trust Him for direction, for daily forgiveness. You trust Him in your troubles. You trust Him for the indwelling Holy Spirit. You trust Him as your teacher. You trust Him even when He takes away friends. What, Pastor Mark? You trust Him when He takes away friends who were a bad influence and replaces them with people who are part of the family of God. You trust Him when He says, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. Trust Him. Now I'm challenging you this morning. Find out how every great man or woman in the Word of God, and when I say great, I just mean those who trusted Him and were used by Him. Go through. If you don't have a Bible study this week, if you don't have a devotional, if you say, I don't know what to read, go back. I'm going to give you a few, but go back and see how these men and women, all, each one of them, how did they deal with their trouble? Because every one of them faced troubles. Hezekiah received a letter from the enemy king that was going to overthrow Israel, overthrow Jerusalem, and armies were coming against them. And the king sent a letter to Hezekiah and said, this is what I'm going to do to you. And it was vicious. Hezekiah's first reaction, do you know what it was? He took that letter and he went to the altar and he laid that letter before the Lord and he prayed over it. He prayed and said, God, this is what my enemies say that they're going to do to me. Now, what, Lord, will You do?
Amen.
When the enemy sends you a word to threaten you and to scare you, when he puts a thought into your mind that causes despair and anxiety, when those things come, it's like getting a letter from the devil. What are you going to do with it? You take it to your prayer closet and you lay it before the Lord. You say, this is what the devil is saying to me, Lord. Now I'm looking to you. Show me how to respond. How to trust you in this. And each new trouble is a new opportunity to show how powerful God is. Jeremiah. Jeremiah was thrown into a dungeon, and he was truly in the miry clay. It was a muddy dungeon, a pit. God delivered him from it, but in the pit, God was speaking prophetic words to him and giving him directions for the future for his own life. Every trouble that you face is an opportunity for God to show you new things and to speak to you in new ways. Amen. Paul and Silas in the New Testament, thrown in jail for preaching the Word of God. And what do we find them doing? Singing praises at midnight. Singing praises at midnight. And God sends an angel, opens up the prison, breaks loose their shackles, and sets them free. Every trouble that comes your way is an opportunity for new liberty.
Amen.
In the Lord. There's something that the Lord wants to use that trouble for, to break something off of you that's holding you back so that you can be free in Him. So you take that. Study Joseph, one trouble after another, until God raises him up second to Pharaoh over all the land of Egypt. It's all about how you deal with your troubles. Daniel, it's all about how he dealt with his troubles. He was threatened for praying publicly. He was threatened and he was thrown into a den of lions. God shut the mouth of the lions. And I'm going to close with this morning. You take these and you see how God used them and what they did in the face of their troubles. And you answer the question honestly this morning. Do I trust God? Do I trust the Lord in this time of trouble? For this one thing I know, this is a time of preparation. Because you think you face some troubles now, you've not faced anything yet. For the believers in this country, troubles are coming.
Amen.
For believers in the world, troubles are mounting. And they're being stacked up against us, even as I speak. Some are going to shine brightly, the Bible says. Some are going to, in that final hour when it's the worst, some are going to shine the brightest of all because they trust God and they take their troubles to Him. They trust God and they keep their focus on the Lord. It's a very simple thing. It's not a formula. It's a relationship. But it's a very simple thing. It just has to be practiced. And it has to become bedrock in your life. And I'm just saying it as strongly as I know how. And I'm not meaning to be harsh. Stop wavering. Stop saying you love God and you trust God one day and then the next day He's behind some dark cloud somewhere and you don't even act like He's real. And you're mad at the world and mad at everybody else or mad at God or mad at mom and dad or mad at family or whatever it may be. You're a believer.
Amen.
You're a child of God.
Yes.
He lives within you and you can trust Him.
Yes.
Prove it. Prove it. Prove it before this world that's watching you. Yes. Right now.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
As I pray, it's a time in the service for you to give these things just in your heart to the Lord. Surrender. Surrender, not to me, surrender to the Word and to the Lord Himself. And say, Lord, show me what you want to teach me in the trouble where I find myself. And if you don't know the Lord today, if you've not walked with God, if you're not a Christian, hear something in this Word that's real. I mean, because this is real. His Word is real. And he's waiting for you to just simply turn your life over to him to say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. I know that I need you. I believe that what you did on the cross was for my salvation, and I'm trusting you to save me. Turn your life over to the Lord. Turn from what you know to be wrong and ask him to come in and to save you and to make you a new creation. And he promises he won't say no. He'll do it today. We're going to close in prayer and then we'll close out the live stream. I want to just pray God blesses those of you who are watching by the live stream. We thank you. I thank you for your prayers over the last couple of months and for all that I've been through. And he has certainly answered in a mighty way. And I thank you very much for that. Amen.